chapter 5. This is the last of a five-part series as we've been going through the book of Lamentations. And next week we're going to start a new series. It's going to be we're looking at the kingdom, the parables of the kingdom. And that's going to be for 8 weeks. And believe it or not, that's going to take us right up to Easter. Can you believe it? Easter is just around the corner. But here in Lamentations chapter 5, let me read some verses this morning as we get into our text. Lamentations 5, beginning with verse 1. Jeremiah says this, "Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We've become orphans, fatherless. Our mothers are like widows. We must pay for the winter, for the water we drink, the wood must be bought. We get must be bought. Our pursuers are at our necks. We are weary. We are given no rest." Verses 8 and 9. "Slaves rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the peril of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness." Verse 11. "Women are raped in Zion, young women in the towns of Judah. Princes are hung by their hands. No respect is shown to the elders. Young men are compelled to grind at the mill, and boys stagger under loads of wood. The old men have left the city gates, and young men their music. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has been turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned." Jerusalem is in great disgrace, great shame. And if you know anything about shame, if you're ever in a position of shame, that is a demoralizing position to be in. Because in shame, you feel so unworthy. You feel unworthy of love. You feel like you deserve punishment. You deserve to be persecuted. And that's where Jerusalem is. The city of Jerusalem has been destroyed. Mothers have lost their children. The enemy, Babylon, has ripped them from mothers' arms and carried them off into bondage, into captivity. Women have lost their husbands. Scripture says women have been raped, young women, in the town of Judah. People are feeling shame. They're overwhelmed by shame. And I want to just talk a moment about shame this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you know what that's like. And what do you do? I mean, you feel disgraced. You can identify somewhat with what Jeremiah is describing in the city of Jerusalem. What do you do when you're overwhelmed by shame? My words are going to be devotional in nature this morning, but I want to share four things. Number one, don't hide. If you're experiencing shame or grace this morning, don't hide. Because our nature wants to hide. And we see that from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve had rebelled against God. Adam and Eve were used to walking in the dew of the morning in the garden with the God, the Creator. But when they had failed, when they had disobeyed God, the Bible says that they hid in shame. And that's what happens to people today. They want to hide. And the worst thing you can do if you want to get out of shame and the disgrace you're experiencing, you can't hide. Dr. Breen Brown studied shame, and she said this: when shame is spoken about, it can't exist any longer. And when you begin to talk about shame, in other words, it will flee. Shame will flee. But in order to do that, you can't hide. You've got to talk about it, and we'll get to that in a moment. Now understand, that was point number two. I felt like we needed to start with point number two. Point number one is pray, okay? And I think that's the second thing that you need to do. Sorry, Stephen, I didn't meant to correct you, and that's what your outline says this morning. But you can't hide. Number two, you need to pray. And that's what's happening in verse 1 of Lamentations chapter 5 this morning. The poet says, "Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace." And part of coming out, and part of not hiding any longer, you need to go to God. Look at what is going on. And when you ask Him to look, do you think to yourself, is He going to be repulsed by what He sees? I mean, is what I'm trying to convey to God going to just repulse Him? He can't tolerate it? Absolutely not. And we know this by how Jesus lived His life. I'm not going to go there, but in Luke chapter 7, there's a sinful woman who's in desperate need of expressing her love and adoration for Jesus. And she's so desperate to be in the presence of Jesus that she walks into a Pharisee's house where she knows she doesn't belong. That she knows how people feel about her. But Jesus is there. She goes into Simon's house and she kneels at the feet of Jesus. And with great emotion, she begins to weep over Jesus' feet and dries her tears with her hair. And here Jesus is. Jesus knows exactly who this person is. She knows everything. He knows everything that has transpired in her life, and He allows her to touch Him. Simon is appalled. Simon is thinking to himself, Jesus, if you knew who this person was, you wouldn't allow this person to touch you. This person is making you unclean. And yet here we see the grace and the mercy of God Himself receiving the worship, the gratitude, the emotions of this sinful woman. Friend, if you find yourself in disgrace, God is not going to be appalled by who you are and what's transpired. He wants to hear your prayer. He wants to receive you to Himself. And that's what we see in this passage of Scripture here, a cry for help from the poet. God, see our disgrace. So don't hide. Pray. Give it to the Lord. And number three, if you find yourself overwhelmed by shame, you need to talk it out. Not only talk it out with God in prayer, but you need to talk it out with others. For you see, Dr. Brown also says this, not only will shame not exist when we talk about it, but when we talk about it, shame will stop existing when shame meets empathy. And when you express yourself to somebody else and you find empathy in that conversation, shame will stop existing. One of the core values of our church, and you're going to hear about this consistently over this next year, one of the core values of our church is authentic community. And in our life groups, we desire for there to be authentic community among those in those homes, in those living rooms, or wherever people gather. That people are vulnerable enough to share really what's going on in their life. And when they share, they're not going to be criticized. They're not going to be judged. They're going to be received. They're going to find empathy. And if you're here this morning and you're experiencing shame, and you get the courage to just share with what's going on in your group, don't expect everybody to empathize. Not everybody's going to get it, but if you don't get it, don't point a finger, don't gasp, you know, don't cover your ears. I can't believe what I'm hearing. But listen. Care. But prayerfully, someone is going to be in that life group who can empathize, who can get where you're coming from. And when shame meets empathy, shame flees. There was a guy that fell into a hole, and he couldn't get out of this hole. And while he was in this hole, this doctor came by. And the guy cried out, "Hey, can you help me, doc? Can you get me out of this hole?" And the doctor looked at him in the hole and took out his prescription pad, wrote a prescription, and threw it to him in the hole. That was a big help. A little bit later, a priest came by. And called out to the priest, "Priest, can you help get me out of this hole?" And the priest whipped out his notepad and he wrote down a quick prayer and he threw it to the guy in the hole. "Thanks, Father." A little bit later, a good friend named Joe came by. He said, Joe, can you help me out? Can you get me out of this hole?" Joe sees his friend in the hole and he jumps down in the hole with his friend. The guy in the hole is like, "What are you doing? What, are you stupid or something?" And he says, "Well, you know, I've been here before, and I know how to get us out." That's empathy. And a person who's been through something before can be there for others who are experiencing difficulty themselves. You know, that's the Christian thing to do. And the best thing, prescription that you can do for yourself if you're overwhelmed by shame, is you can't hide. You got to keep giving it to the Lord, and you need to find the courage to tell others. And when you find somebody who can empathize, that shame will no longer exist. And this is the biblical approach for us as Christians. as a church. Look at Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Talk it out. And let me just encourage you this way too, when it comes to life groups. As you're struggling with something, you share, but don't monopolize the conversation. You know, trust that God's going to bring somebody into your life in that small group who can empathize, and you guys can get together beyond the life group time and talk further. Don't make life group all about you. But then, let me say this, as life group leaders, you need to be sensitive to the needs that are going on in your group. And if it means pausing the subject matter of your discussion guide and focusing on this person who's hurting, hey, by all means, take the opportunity as a group to minister to this person. Be sensitive. But it's important that we don't monopolize the conversation of life groups. But prayerfully, someone's going to be in that group who knows where you're at because they've been there themselves and can help you through your difficulty. So talk it out. And then number four, if you're overwhelmed by shame, don't be afraid. This is not the end. God is still writing chapters in your life. It's not over till it's completely over. I want us to look at verses 19 through 22. We've been through the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations, and it is a cry, it's a plea of lament, of help to the Lord. But look at verses 19 through 22 as we conclude this book. The poet says, but you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us for so many days? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and you remain exceedingly angry with us. Boy, that sounds like a roller coaster of emotions in those last four verses. Here in verse 19, you know, there's confidence with the poet. Your throne endures to all generations. And then in verse 20, why do you forget us forever? I mean, it feels like forever, God. Are you ever going to remember us? Are we always going to be forsaken? I don't know about you, but I can identify with those emotions. You know, I can feel confident in one moment, in the next moment, I am scared, I am fearful, how am I going to get out of this one? But in all of this, as we've been going through the book of Lamentations, we need to see over and over and over again God's character and who He is. Even those things may be beyond our control right now, God is sovereign. He is forever faithful, and He has a plan and a purpose for whatever we are going through. And maybe you're suffering right now. You're experiencing great shame. Don't allow fear to get the best of you. Don't convince your heart, you know, is God ever going to love me again? You know, if God loved me, why am I going through these things? And you're looking at your circumstances and you're thinking, look at what the locusts have destroyed. How am I ever going to capture those things again? Listen, God loves you. And we need to have confidence in His Word no matter what. There was a pastor who was marrying a couple. And the bride was very nervous about the moment and their future. And the pastor wanted a passage of scripture read that would encourage the bride during the ceremony. And so he asked the best man if he would read 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 during the wedding ceremony. 1 John verse 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear." And so during the ceremony, the pastor looks at the best man and he nods for the best man to read the scripture passage. Well, the best man, he didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. And when the pastor told him 1 John, he just assumed it was John. He didn't realize there was a 1 John. And so he goes to John chapter 4, verse 18, and he reads the verse. He says, "You have had five husbands, and the one that you now have is not your husband." You know, it helps to read the Word, and it helps to know the Word and to read the right scripture. If you're overwhelmed by shame with your current circumstances, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Know the character and nature of who God is in your life. And the way we learn these things of who God really is through His Word. Know the Word. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear." Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Are you afraid this morning of your current circumstances? Perfect love casts out all fear. What's the secret of that perfect love? If you have your Bibles, look at 1 John 4:18 for just a moment. Because the secret is in verse 17. The last part of verse 17 says, "Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear." You want that perfect love this morning? You need to be living as Jesus lived. And I know none of us are perfect. We are so far from perfect. But if we begin to live the kind of lifestyle Jesus lived, it's not about us. It's about others. Being totally dependent on our Father, God using us to be a blessing to others. We're going to experience that perfect love in our life. And that perfect love is going to drive out fear. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16 says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your name is written on the palms of the Father's hands. I can't imagine a nursing mother forgetting her child, but nobody's perfect, but God will never forget you. God knows exactly what you are going through. And Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand." So how do we get through shame? How do we get through suffering? Things that are beyond our control. Know the heart of your Father. There is nothing that can separate you from His love. And though you want this to go away, know that God has a plan and purpose for it all. And in the moment, in the meantime, don't hide. Pray. God, look upon my disgrace. Find somebody who can empathize with what you are going through. And don't be afraid. God is there and God is holding you. This is the book of Jeremiah. God has not abandoned you. God did not abandon Judah. Yes, they were suffering the consequences of their sin. But their bondage wasn't going to last forever. And neither will your suffering. But again, we must repent. We must get right with Him. And know that God is going to use this in our life for our good, your good, and His glory. Let the Word encourage you. We're going to pause and we're going to worship. Usually when we worship this morning, we stand and we sing and we offer an invitation. I want us to just stay seated this morning for most of this song. The venue is going to sing I Surrender All. The service here is going to sing the song It Is Well With My Soul. Is it well with your soul this morning? I want you to listen to these words. I want you to feel these words. I want you, these words to be the prayer of your heart this morning. And when we come to that last verse, that last part of this song, I want us to stand and I want to sing with confidence that it is well. Not because of my strength, not because of my great faith, but because of the object of our faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus that's going to get me through this. Because we know Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. Thank You for Your living Word. Lord, You know each and every person by name this morning. Their names, Your word said, is tattooed on their hands. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that will ever, ever separate us from You if our life is in Jesus. God, I pray that Your word would encourage each one, that our souls would know God, You hold us. We don't hold You. You hold us. If there's one here this morning who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, God, may today be the day of their salvation as they call upon you to save. Bless this time of worship, I pray. In Christ's name.